Okay, scripture reading time. Let's turn open our Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 23. There's a little bit of a correction here. It should be from verse 32 all the way to verse 43. So again, it's book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 32 to 43. Listen to the words of the Lord. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him, which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Let's pray. Our wonderful Savior, Lord, may we humble ourselves before you, Lord. Help us to focus in your will instead of ours. May we cooperate and submit to your will in abandoning our own desire. You know what we need before we even ask. But praying, help us to be close to you and to see for ourselves how your plan unveiled to us in the most amazing ways. As we gather here and pray in one accord, may we bring to you once again a wish for a suitable pastor to minister to the English congregation. May you touch the heart of the pastor you find suitable for us to apply for the position. And also, God, please give the wisdom and discernment to the pastoral search committee to see clearly your plan for us. Lord, please continue to uplift the worship ministry and the team leaders so they can pick the appropriate songs and play the music to inspire the congregation in getting closer to you. Our church's next baptismal and membership transfer ceremony is coming up in a month as well. May you stir the hearts of those who are considering to be baptized and transfer to step up the plate and to glorify you through their own testimony. Thank you, Almighty God, for your love and continuous kindness throughout our lives. Amen. Today, we are very honored to have Pastor Benjamin Pantoa here to share God's word with us today. His topic is words of forgiveness.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Pastor Ben Pantoa. I'm a pastor of three groups at the North Shore. Our church is called New Life Alliance Church. I pastor the young couples, the young adults, as well as the youth of our church. My wife, Mitz, is over here in front, and we're glad to be here. Fritz is a longtime friend. We grew up in the same church called Grace International Baptist Church. Please don't investigate how we did in that church. There will be a lot of bad news, but by God's grace, here we are today. I won't be taking much time telling stories about myself. I saw in your bulletin you have an AGM. That's where I'm going to after here. And so I will be finished when I'm done. Words of forgiveness, Jesus style. I've given you an outline, and I'm encouraging you to follow along as we study the Word of God together. Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 43 was read for you. Thank you, Amina. When's the last time you told someone, I forgive you? It's one of those words that's sometimes hard to let go, isn't it? I forgive you. The harder it is for someone to ask and say, please forgive me. For us who's been offended and who's been hurt, perhaps backstabbed, one of the hardest things to give back is, okay, I forgive you. It may sound like this sometimes. Okay, I forgive you. All you're saying is, get out of my face. Let's move on. But there's something about Jesus' style of forgiveness. Words of forgiveness, Jesus' style. That's what I would like to share with you this morning. You see, whenever you are able to say, I forgive you, or please, or asking for forgiveness, please forgiveness, please forgive me. It's one of those words that we sometimes go, why is it so hard to ask for forgiveness or even give or forgive someone? You see, the final words of a person can reveal what really matters to that person. You see, I'm a pastor for a very long time, and there's a lot of times that I am beside a deathbed, and here's a person that could go anytime, and usually they give out last sentences, and this sentence never fails. Pastor, tell my family I love them. Never fails. Sometimes, Pastor, please tell, forgive me, or for I forgive him. It's actually last words, final words of a person, and it reveals what kind of heart that person is. I'd like to give you some of Hollywood's last words, okay? For those of you who are still young, I'm sure you never heard of Joan Crawford. Joan Crawford, in her deathbed, yelled at her housekeeper because her housekeeper started kneeling down beside her deathbed and started praying for her. You know what she said? She said this. Don't you dare ask God to help me. That was her last word. Leonardo da Vinci was overly modest, saying, I have offended God and mankind because of my work did not reach the quality it should have. I guess the Mona Lisa isn't good enough. Louise Marie, I'm not very good with French, and so I will pronounce it as well. I'll try to pronounce it. Louise Marie Therese of St. Maurice, while dying, passed a... I got this from Google, okay? So, while dying, passed a stinky gas and said, good, a woman can pass out God, is not dead. That was her last word. And then there's this Filipino businessman, this one is a joke, who was dying, asked his wife beside him, and he said, are you here? Yes. Is my oldest son here? Yes. Is my children here? Yes. And the businessman said, why are you all here? Who's watching our store? Last words. And this guy, you know, Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, according to his sister Mona, the Apple founder's last word were, oh wow, oh wow, oh wow. What will be yours? Have you ever thought about it? If God is about to call you right at this moment, is there any people you need to forgive? Is there anyone you need to ask for forgiveness? Of all the final words that have been spoken in the past and even today, none are more precious, none are more revealing and filled with meaning and wisdom than the last words of Jesus Christ on the cross. The next time I come in here, I will prepare a PowerPoint. Forgive me. I came up with an outline. Jesus said in your outline, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing, and they divided up his clothes by casting lots." Jesus said these precious and powerful words while being crucified, In the midst of such punishment, most people would runt and rave at the crowd, and especially at their executioners. But the final words of Jesus is that, "Forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." You see, record shows that a lot of people who were crucified at that time let go of curses and full of anger and hatred. But not so with Jesus. Instead, number one, I'd like to pass this to you. Jesus' words of forgiveness is a prayer of petition, an earnest request. The Word of God said, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." I'd like you to notice when you look at and study the New Testament, up to this point in his life, Jesus had never asked the Father to forgive anyone. Never asked the Father to forgive anyone. Instead, Jesus himself forgave sin. If I will take you and backtrack you to the earliest of Jesus' life, specifically on Mark chapter 2, he said to the paralyzed guy, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And whenever Jesus forgives someone's sins, it angered the Pharisees, for they thought, "How could any man forgive sins? This is something only God can do." But this time, at the cross, while he was hanging there, he said, "Father, forgive them." It's always the thought why his prerogative to forgive, which he has done before, is now given to the Father. It's a very important thing to notice. "Father, forgive them." On the cross, he did not exercise his divine prerogative. Instead, he asked the Father to do what he had previously done. But take note, he was still God. There was never a time that was let go. To be sure, he did not exercise his position of authority and prayed that the unforgiven might be forgiven. Amen? Those are the things that I would love to say. Wow, what kind of a God is this? These words of Jesus, I want you to know, is a fulfillment 700 years before his death time. 700 years earlier, Isaiah had foretold Jesus' sacrificial death on our behalf. And I'd like to read it for you. Isaiah 53:12 goes this way. "He poured out his life unto death, was numbered with transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." This is 700 years ago. See, I'd like to share with you shades of meaning of the word forgive. First, the word forgive expressed the idea of letting go of a debt by not demanding its payment. Jesus was asking that our sin debt be forgiven. This could only be done by placing the obligation on another. So, in his prayer for our forgiveness, Jesus was asking that our sin be placed on him. That's something that you need to understand every time we celebrate that week, the Holy Week. Jesus was asking that our sin be placed on him. In short, if you would make up in your own mind the prayer of Jesus, Father, forgive them by condemning me. It says he hung there on the cross. Jesus did not ask that God to ignore sin. He wasn't doing that. What he was doing is God is love, but he is also just, and justice demands penalty. Our sin had to be paid for, and that's what he is doing. Jesus was saying, Father, let me pay the price for their sin. That's the kind of Jesus you serve. That's the kind of God we bow down to. And the Bible teaches that every time we are less than honest with our tax return, every time we gossip, every time we tell a racist joke, or entertain sexually impure thoughts, each sinful act adds to a mountain of moral debt so high that we could never pay it. It is as if Jesus is saying, God, let me pay for it. Let me pay the debt of the sin. Of the sin. On the cross, Jesus paid the past, present, and future sin. Your sin, mine, and this is the voice that needs to be heard all over your mind this morning. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. You know how many people will stop killing themselves if that's what they are hearing today? You know how many people will simply cry and just be with God? If they knew they could be forgiven, that's the kind of forgiveness Jesus gives. That's his style. And this morning I'm going to ask, would you accept that style? It's a hard thing. The other thing I'd like to emphasize is the word forgive, letter B on number one, is in the imperfect tense, which indicates repeated action in the past. In other words, Jesus prayed this prayer over and over and over again. It means, as the centurion was whipping him, as he was being nailed, as he is being pushed, as he is being hurt, as he being stabbed, in all those times, Jesus was forgiving them. I don't know of anyone who does that except Jesus. Jesus prayed this prayer over and over again while he was hanging on the cross. Here's the truth. He's still praying for you and me. You want to take note? If there's a time that you feel that that you're alone and there's nothing good happening, you may want to write Romans 8:34. Christ Jesus, Apostle Paul said, who died and who was raised to life, is even now at the right hand of God, interceding for you and me. Interceding, meaning he's still praying for you and me. And that's something that we have to put in mind whenever we think we cannot be forgiven. That's how much God cares. That's how much God loves. There's another word. Forgive. The word forgive also means permit. Not permit to sin. Allow me to explain. Jesus was also saying, Father, permit them, do not hinder them from doing this to me. He was saying, permit them from doing this. Because if they stop, if I don't permit them to do this, there will be no forgiveness of sin. That's how great this Jesus is while hanging on that cross. Now I'd like to track you back again. If you will read Matthew 26:53, it goes like this. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? That's Jesus speaking before he was crucified. I'd like you to picture this in your mind. With the crucifixion in progress, Jesus looks heavenward and there he sees this legion of angels just waiting for an order. Jesus said, Father, hold them back. Do not hinder this man. Permit the crucifiers to continue. They are not taking my life from me. I am laying it down myself. It is necessary if mankind is to be saved. That's the kind of Jesus we have. Now, Google, I visited again. Legion of angels. Google will tell you that legion, one legion means there's 6,000 angels. 6,000 angels. You know how angel, how strong our angels are? Let me take you back to the Old Testament. Okay? In the Old Testament, it took one angel to destroy a whole army. One. That's how strong angel is. It took two angels to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So three can do the job. Even one. There's one angel, according to the New Testament, who rolled back the stone. I tried to Google how many Roman soldiers were rolling it up. It just said a battalion. So there's a lot. But one angel rolled the stone. One angel unlocked the prison doors. You see, whenever I look at that, can you imagine Jesus? He could have just said, enough of this. Free? Destroyed. He could. He did not. You know why? He's thinking of you and me today. There will be people on February 28, 2016, worshiping the same Jesus. That's the kind of God you bow down to. That's the kind of God resurrected. That's the kind of God you say, I love you. That's the kind of God we say. And so in the time of intense personal pain, Jesus focused on others. You and me. You and me. That's why the centurion was confused in our passage. And even back in Matthew 27, when he looked up at Jesus and that's all he was hearing. There's nothing he could say, but truly, this was the Son of God. Let me take you to the second point. Jesus' words of forgiveness is a powerful plea, an emotional request. Here's what he said. For they do not know what they are doing. The people who crucified Jesus did not deserve this prayer. No one deserved this kind of forgiveness. They deserve curse, but Jesus gave them forgiveness. You see, I always thought, when you're in pain, when you're alone, when you're hurting, when no one was there for you, you gotta remember, Jesus was at least have 11 disciples by this time. Judas just killed himself. In the 3 years that he was discipling them, you would hope that it, when it's time for you to die, at least there will be 11 people there trying to say, where are his followers? No one was there. Jesus knew exactly how you feel being alone. As Christians today and as his disciples, Jesus calls us to the same perspective. He commands us to look at the people who make our lives difficult, those people who hurt us with their hateful words and action, but in the same time, he wants you to know, I did that so you can. Some think that only deserving people are objects of God's love and grace. The truth is, none of us are deserving of God's love and grace. That's the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you were forgiven, when you have accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior, He accepted you for who you are. This is our fundamental difference between following Jesus and following other religions and gods that they have. Let me take you to number three. Jesus' words of forgiveness are freely given to anyone who pleads for mercy, who pleads for mercy. Jesus said, before this, can you imagine this? This thief can hear all these words that Jesus are letting go, for they do not know what they are doing. And then the thief wanted to talk to Jesus, and he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Let me give you reminders. The thief probably did not do anything good before this point of his life. He was not serving God. He was not there with John, Paul, and Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. He wasn't there. He was a bad dude. He deserved to be put to death. But then when he said this, we know what happened. But let me give you some more reminder. The thief was not even part of the 3 years discipleship program that Jesus did with his disciples. But I always wondered, what made this criminal change from being bad, deserving to die, and then looking at Jesus and said, please remember me when you come into your kingdom? What made him change from point A to point B? I always thought, that was fast. You know, as you go back to the time that Jesus was carrying the cross, he was following along. He was hearing every time Jesus was being poked by the nail. He was hearing all the insult. And yet, when Jesus, he hears back, all that he hears is, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Can you imagine if you hear something like that? I would too ask, come on, get upset. This is so unfair. You do not deserve this. But that's all he heard. No wonder he needed to ask Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Chapter 23, verse 42. In all of the insulting and taunting Jesus received, the thief heard how he answered. No wonder he talks this way. Go back to that passage. Look at verse 40. Actually, 39. 39, this is the bad one. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. This is the criminal who asked. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God? What made him say that? The fear of God. Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, verse 41, and indeed justly, for we are receiving the due rewards of our deeds. This is his sentence. But this man, Jesus, did not do anything wrong. That's the Jesus we serve. That's why you came this morning. To fellowship with the one who died for you. To fellowship with the one who has forgiven you. To fellowship. But as you go out in here, he wants you to do it like he did. That's the hardest part. We'll go to that. Number four, Jesus' words of forgiveness with a promise of eternal life. Jesus answered him. I'm so grateful for this verse. Truly, I tell you, today, not tomorrow, right now, while you are in pain, while you're hanging on the cross, while you're about to die, today you will be with me in paradise. That's the kind of Jesus you accepted. The moment you've given your life to Him, He's got you. Isn't that good? When you don't fear death anymore? So go out in here. Now don't go crazy and, you know, don't do something that will make you feel invincible. No, that's not what I said. I just said don't fear death. Did you know I learned something new this week? One of our young adults is going to a mission trip on summer at Dominican Republic, and I learned something from her. She said, Pastor Ben, I fear going to mission trip. The first time we went to Dominican Republic. I took 16 teenagers last year. And when we came back, he decided she wanted to come back the whole summer this year. To make the long story short, she went to Denver, Colorado for some training. And this is her letter, Facebook private message to me. She said, Pastor Ben, I just learned something. The things that I fear in life may be God's reason why I am created. And I thought of that, said, whoa, wow. That may be something we could learn here too. Sometimes the things that we fear may be the reason why you and I were born. And the most fearful of them all is this. Ask for forgiveness and forgive someone. That's what Jesus did. I'd like you to notice something about how Jesus answered. Jesus answered, he didn't just give this guy a passage, go to heaven. Did you see that? I tell you today, there's something before heaven. What was it? You will be with me. You will be with me. As Christians and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, the thing that goes into your mind about heaven, the most important part is you will be with God. I long for that. Face to face, where we will see God Himself. God, in this case, is giving His life. It's not being taken from Him. So, forgiving those who hurt and offended you may bring salvation to others around you. At least that's what happened in Jesus' time. Matthew 6, 14 to 15 said, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Not my words, Matthew. But if you do not forgive other sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I'm aware that this is a simple application in words, but difficult in deeds. You see, in the time Jesus was crucified, it was customary to force them to hang something at the top of the cross. The old word that was used, it's called titulus. Just simply means title of the crime on which this person is being hanged. And the title that God have, that Jesus have, is the King of the Jews. So in essence, he was executed for treason, for claiming to be king in Caesar's place. But in truth, Jesus' title included much more than that. It contained a list of your sins and mine. Max Lucado puts it this way, and I will end with this. There was a long list, a list of our mistakes, our lusts and lies and greedy moments and prodigal years. Nailed to the cross was an itemized catalog of your sins, my sins, the bad decision from last year, the bad attitudes from last week. There in broad daylight for all heaven to see is a list of our mistakes. But in very real sense, the list cannot be read. The words cannot be understood. The mistakes are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. The sins are hidden, for they are covered by blood. Thank you, Lord. And Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, your sins are blotted out. He has forgiven you all your sins. He has utterly wiped out and written evidence of broken commandments, which always hang over your heads, and has completely annulled it by nailing it on the cross. This is when we come to a point where it's hard to ask for forgiveness or to forgive someone. Go back to the words of forgiveness, Jesus style. I'd like to conclude. It's 11:01. I went over time for 1 minute. Forgive me. See, I'm already asking for forgiveness. You have blank space there that I'd like you to take home. Please write this down. Jesus' words of forgiveness are for us to, the first blank, receive. Jesus' words of forgiveness are for us to receive. The second blank space, and for us to give. Again, Jesus' words of forgiveness are for us to receive and for us to give. Number two, the first one, undeserved. Undeserved and unfair. Unfair are words we need to give up. Jesus did. Undeserved and unfair are words we need to give up. Jesus did. Bow down with me. Father in heaven, thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you because you chose that path of your life so that we can have our own path today. Today, we can worship you. And as we sing in honor of your name, it adds on purpose because someone did it for all of us. Jesus is your name. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, help this church. I don't know what path they are taking right now. But if it's forgiveness, forgiving, loving and serving you one more time, and forgiving others, may that be true and shining in our life even today, because you're coming back. And we want you to come back, and you will find us faithful. Faithful. Father, I pray for this church. I pray for the pastors, for the leaders, worship team, and everything that goes in and out of this church. I pray that your power will once again be felt. That you are still Lord of all. Lord of all. Jesus is your name. Amen and amen.